Sell with your ears, not with your mouth. Wise words from sales expert and queen of handling objections, Andra Bolin. In this conversation with Andra, we dive into a fiery topic about the sales process. Tune in and learn why there's no shame in selling, the importance of having clients qualify themselves prior to an enrollment call, the difference between manipulation and intentional sales, a perspective-shifting mantra for selling, and the four D's of enrollments. Andra Bolin is a sales expert and creator of Cha-Ching, and she's on a mission to help entrepreneurs power up their sales conversations and conversions by demystifying the stigma around selling and deploying sacred sales practices. Building on years of experience managing hundreds of salespeople in a corporate environment, Andra teaches the power of connection and transformation in sales and works with businesses to improve their enrollment process from first touch to testimonial. Andra helps craft compelling sales scripts, webinar pitches, and sales calls that communicate the power of the transformation at stake by making a real connection with potential customers. If you are a new listener to today's Thought Leader, please go and hit subscribe now and drop a rating and review. And if you are a loyal listener, thank you so much for being here again. Now it is time for us to dive into a juicy conversation with sales with Andra Bolin. Welcome to today's Thought Leader, where I'm challenging you to rise up, speak up, and create a movement. I'm your host, Ruby Fremon, and I'm here as a catalyst for you, the new generation of thought leaders. I'm a kick-ass life coach, a bullshit detector, and courageous communicator. I'll show you how to gain visibility, build a cult following, and create impact while increasing your income. Join me every week as I dive into raw and real conversations that will help you amplify your presence, influence, and impact. It's time to unapologetically do what you're here to do and do it your way. So get ready, thought leaders, and let's make shit happen. Hey, thought leaders, I am back and I am super pepped up on caffeine. So this is definitely going to be a really fucking amazing episode. I'm also excited because I have with me the one and only Andra Bolin, who is flipping the script on sales. And let me tell you, after working with her for the launch that I did with Kimra Luna, holy shit, my perspective on sales has completely shifted and I have such a huge amount of respect for this woman. So Andra, welcome to today's Thought Leader. I am so excited to talk about sales with you.
Oh my gosh. I am beyond excited to talk about sales with you. And I think you're amazing. So being able to work with you and see how you show up so uniquely in your space and so authentically, it was easy to work with you. And so I'm excited. Let's
Oh, thank you. Let's do this. Okay. So we're both pumped up, right?
Totally.
We're both fired up. One of the things that I loved about working with you in the realm of sales is the way that you positioned applying versus qualifying. Like that stood out to me. The idea of people actually qualifying themselves and how you see us, you know, the ones with the products and the programs that are trying to enroll clients, how you see us in the position of actually being able to select. Because I think there's like a real rat race energy associated with sales. At least I feel like I've gotten caught up in that, where like you're in a race to fill a program, to fill an offer, to fill a something. And within that race, you forget all about, you know, your values and who you really want to hit and your targets. And you get wrapped up in the velocity of getting it done, as well as like the dollar amount versus the quality. Like, I feel like the quality gets lost.
Yeah. You know, what's really, I love that you bring that up, because I think, you know, we have those as entrepreneurs, we do have those real pressures. And I put that in air quotes because there's realities, right? Like the reality is that we do have programs that we're so super stoked about and we're excited about, and we just really want to get as many people inside of these high touch you know, program so that we can really start getting to the part where we're excellent at, which is serve,
right.
And so we have these numbers and we have these targets. And so that's the business, right? Mm-hmm. But at the same token, it's like, sometimes I think we forget, like, we have to actually work with these people beyond, like, gold. You actually have to work with these people, right? And so yeah. You really want to make sure that you're bringing in people that you really want to work with. Like, I remember when I used to work in corporate America, and mm-hmm. I wanted to be a supervisor so badly at this call center that I worked at. And I applied 8 times.
Wow.
Like, I had to interview 8 times. And the best thing that one of my now good friends told me was, she said, when we interview people, the first thing that we ask ourselves is, like, do we actually want to, like, go to happy hour with this person? Mm. Like, do we want to hang out with this person that we're bringing into our fold? And I think of it, when I think about, like, enrolling people in these high ticket, high touch programs, it's like, you have to serve them. And so there's 2 things that you want to look at. Like, do you actually want to serve them? Let's mm-hmm. just be honest. Like, do you really want to serve them? And are they someone that you believe that's going to really come in and take it all in and, like, be a baller, like, be an mm-hmm. amazing case study for you, like, that they're on fire as equally as you're on fire. And so when we talk about, like, selling and qualifying and applying, like, the big thing that I really try to impress upon people that I work with is, like, do the right thing. And the right thing is to give people an opportunity to qualify themselves first mm-hmm. before they decide to take up any of your time. Don't you think?
Right. Like, yeah. After experiencing it through the launch that we did with you, yes. But before that, I was like, oh, I don't understand this. This is, like, a little different than what I've been shown. So I'd love for you to share more about this process of having mm-hmm. these potential clients qualify themselves so that our audience can gain a better perspective on what this means.
Yeah, I would love to, because I think this is, like, if there was anything that we let, like, they, that you guys get out of this conversation mm-hmm. is that make it easier for you. Like, selling, like, the way that selling should be is it should really be about this opportunity to deeply connect with someone. Mm. Like, by the time you get to the sales conversation, you should be free flowing. Like, I'm so loose when it comes to sales. Like, and I want everyone to experience that instead of mm-hmm. the anxiety and the pressure to perform and this, like, thing that happens. There's, like, all these things that happen when you're nervous.
Right.
That aren't going to set you up to win. And it just doesn't lead to a good, to an epic enrollment experience. And right. So let's talk about the qualifying, and let's just kind of reverse engineer it a little bit. I want you to think of it like this. The first flip that we need to make internally is that we're not selling, we're interviewing.
Mm.
So if you think about it, think about when you used to work, you know, before you started your business, you went to a job to apply for a job. But before you applied for the job, didn't you look at the job description? Didn't you look at what skills were required? Mm-hmm. Didn't you allow yourself to qualify yourself first before you submitted the resume?
Right.
And that felt good because at least you were making a decision like, oh, cool, I'm not, like, setting myself up to go into this interview. And then for them to tell me after I've invested money in getting a new outfit and getting my hair cut and, like, practicing my interviewing and getting this swanked out resume
right.
that I'm even qualified.
Right.
And that's happened to me. And I'm sure it's happened to a lot of you. So it's like, to me, you know, as a sacred, like, in our sacred businesses, it's like, let's do the right thing and let's create a holistic experience on both sides. Mm. So the best thing to do is let's tell them exactly what it is. Let's be clear about what this is. Like, let's not play that whole, like, see, I can feel a rant coming.
Go for it. Dive right in. We love rants on TTO.
Yeah. Like, let's not play this game of, like, let's get him into a free coaching call. You guys, here's the reality. You can't promise transformation in an hour. So why are you selling it as a 15-minute, like, get your life coaching call?
Right.
You can't turn, no, I don't even know someone's favorite color in 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Like, what can you possibly do for someone? And here's the thing. Your prospects, they're hip to the game. You think they don't know that that's what's going on? They
right.
do. They know that there's nothing really that they're going to get out of it. But because they're desperate to get access to you, they'll take whatever you give them.
Boom.
Right. So what can we do differently? I'll tell you what we do differently. We start telling people what it is that they're actually coming into a call for.
Mm-hmm.
They're not coming to get free coaching. They're not even coming to get like free strategies.
Right.
They're coming in for you to discern right fit.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so for us to qualify them and for them, give them that space to qualify themselves, we need to be honest about what it is, what's going to happen, and let's be clear about who this really is for and who it is not for.
Yeah, definitely. It's so interesting because I feel like everyone who does sales is taught like this traditional sales thing where it's like, okay, connect for the first whatever minutes and then get to the pain point, exacerbate the pain, follow the solution, boom, make your pitch and whatever. And I followed that for legit probably 1 month of my coaching career, because when I did it and I actually enrolled someone at a higher price, it was cool. And at the same time, it didn't feel good. Something about that experience didn't feel like it was an integrity, and that client didn't end up being an ideal client for me. Yes, they paid the higher rate. And I mean, it was like 4 times higher than what I was charging. And it wasn't a positive coaching experience for myself. And I'm sure it wasn't that positive for her because she wasn't really ready and she wasn't really coachable and she didn't really fully understand the work that was going into this coaching experience. It was really just about locking in that sale. It was for her getting the money, investing in it, feeling desperate to change. And there was no sense of really qualifying. And from there, I remember switching right away to calling my sessions possibility sessions and actually writing like, this is a session for us to determine if we're a good fit for each other in a coaching relationship. And that's changed everything. But I don't know. And you tell me if my assumption is wrong. I think a lot of people get caught up in the quote unquote other ways of selling because it does work. And like, I feel like it lacks longevity, integrity, and client loyalty.
Well, see, what's happening is you're right. And so what, when you just kind of mentioned that flow, for example, mm-hmm. vital, because let's just keep it grisly. Okay.
Okay.
We don't really make big moves in our lives in the place of pleasure.
We do it in the pain. Yep.
Right. So we do need to get clear on what's really going on. But see, this is the difference. It's all a shift in the why, right? Because with the older model of selling, you only want to know that, the only reason why you want to know that is just to move them along in the process. Whereas I want to know that because I'm literally genuinely investigating if you're going to make it in my world.
So it's like a genuine interest, it's genuine interest versus like, let me just tick off all these boxes to get them into this emotional space to make a decision.
Correct. So it takes it from manipulation to intention.
Mm.
And just like this conscious intentional decision to go deep with someone because you genuinely care and you're genuinely trying to figure out, am I going to be able to really help this person?
Right.
Because when you're inside of a sales conversation, you're doing two things. You've got two roles, especially if you're an entrepreneur that doesn't have a sales team and you've got to do this yourself, which I always recommend you do initially until there's other factors that mitigate, like, yes, you should hire someone.
Right.
Like, there's two roles that you have. Number one, you're just trying to get to know if you're trying to get the sale, you're trying to move them into your program.
Right.
And you really should be trying to discern right fit. But the other thing that you are is a gatekeeper to everybody else that's on the inside. So now you're a protector, you're the guard. Mm-hmm. So you know what I mean? Like you're honoring the commitment, but you're also guarding everyone else's experience that's on the inside.
Yeah.
And so when I'm enrolling for someone, I tell them very clearly, like, look, financially, yes, we need to make sure you can pull the trigger, right? But even if you can, that does not guarantee you entry because there is a lot of amazing entrepreneurs already over here on the inside, and I have a responsibility to guard and protect their experience.
That's so important. I mean, I feel like almost everyone listening could probably relate to one experience where they've been part of something and there's like someone in there where the energy drags you down. And yes. I've been a member of groups like this, and I've also had this happen in one of my groups, and it was heartbreaking to witness like everything crumbling right in front of you. And I love that analogy of being a gatekeeper, you know, being a gatekeeper for the other people who have enrolled and really are an amazing fit, and being a gatekeeper for your other clients, and also like really protecting the sacred nature of what you have to offer in the container. Yes. I believe that the reason why more people don't think this way, and I was one of them, is because of the fear of not really selling out a program, or like, you know, failing on that part of it, not enrolling enough people, not making the money that you wanted to make. And when we get into that, even when I say it out loud, it's like, fuck, like that gets you caught up in the money versus the service. And yes, service leads to money, but when you're prioritizing the money, I think it just becomes easier to sacrifice the service, or even like the quality of your work, or the potency of your gifts and what you have to offer.
Yeah, because I think what's happening is when you're only selling on demand.
Right.
You know, versus creating this space. So this is one of the things that I teach people when I work with them is like, you know, if you want to convert it 15 to 30%, keep doing what you're doing. Right. Uh-huh. Only show up when it's time to sell. You're going to have to take in a whole heck of a lot of more calls. Mm-hmm. Your numbers if you're only going to convert at 15 to 30%. Mm-hmm. Or you could actually do it a little bit differently and already have them sold before they come into a conversation. Mm. So now we're talking about 60-80% conversion, less conversations, more high quality people coming in, more people that are on fire, mm-hmm. actually have a seat in front of you to interview for the opportunity to come into your program. Mm-hmm. And now, but think about what changes right there. If people are already coming in primed, prepared, pre-qualified, right? If they're already coming in like that, they're coming in hot.
Right.
And so now, one of the best mottos that I learned, I was 19 years old. It was one of my first sales jobs. And it was a super competitive environment. And I wanted to win President's Club, which was like, think about the Academy Awards and the Oscars. Uh-huh. Right? Uh-huh. Get dressed up in your formals. They actually have like the awards that aren't like plastic.
Right.
5-course meal. And it was the top 10% went as winners. The next 10% went as guests. That was my first time. And I wanted to freaking win. Every course did this. And I remember all of a sudden, like I wasn't getting the sales. Mm-hmm. And my supervisor said, Andra, stay loose to produce. You are all over the place. You're forgetting what you're doing because you're focusing on the wrong thing.
Right.
So what does that mean for your audience? It's like, how would it feel for you if you had set yourself up for sales success? So all you had to do was come in and do what you're naturally good at, which is staying loose, showing up in a place of service and discernment, and connecting with someone and making sure that you're doing the right thing for the whole.
Right. Yeah.
The game.
I mean, that just flips the whole traditional sales model on its head, right? Because we're taught to do things differently. So I want to dive into some more of the what not to do's. And I feel like this could get really ranty. I think it's really important to identify, the wrong way of selling versus like the more integral way of selling. I want our listeners to
partner, right?
Yeah.
Like you either want to make the sales call, do all the heavy lifting, or there's another way to make it easy. And I'm like, if there was the Lazy Girl's Guide for Selling, I could author that thing because I don't like objections, even though I'm the queen.
Right.
Why do I want to have objections? So I'm all about like eliminating those. It's rare that I get sales objections.
Mm-hmm. So why don't we talk about what you're seeing out there in the world of sales that we want to avoid doing?
Okay. Well, something that I'm seeing, oh gosh.
Here we go.
Okay, this is the one, and I've actually got, listen, guys, I've actually had like big people, and I won't say their names, of course, but I have some people that you probably know that have hired me, paid me big money, and it wasn't Ruby. Just
thank you for letting them know.
Big money, and then when I tell them do not do something, they're like, but blankety blank said, and I'm like, then you should have hired them. Do not do this. Like, please create a ticket to play. In other words, stop giving people access to your calendar without doing anything to earn it. Like, you protect your house. And your house, you're in business, your calendar is your temple because it's your time. And so I see so many people giving this advice, like, just get them to the sales conversation. Just get them there. And yes, you will get more calls. I'll just be honest. You're going to get more calls. But you have to ask yourself, do you want to take more calls to get your numbers, or would you rather take less and exceed your numbers?
Right.
But this is what happens. This is the game that people are playing, because here's why they say, hey, just give them your calendar link. Don't make them fill out anything. Don't make them jump any hurdles. They say that because there is some truth that we want to minimize the barriers to entry, right?
Right. So
if I make you click a bunch of times, then I'm going to start losing people in the process, right?
Right.
But here's my thing. You have to take a stand for your sales, straight up. Like, just like you have to take a stand for who you are as a person, you have to take a stand for how you're going to show up for your sales process. And for me, I'm all about, like, creating a really cool, sacred, fun experience. I don't want it to be hard. I don't want there to be heavy lifting. I want to talk to people who want to talk to me.
Yeah.
And they have to go through some hoops to get there. So that's my first key. Stop doing that.
Yeah. I love that. I mean, I remember doing it the other way and having my calendar fee be booked with calls and not talking to the right clients for me. And time is valuable, you know, and our energy is so sacred. And so now I go on far less calls, but people are qualified. It feels better on both parties. They know what to expect. You know, little things like I know how much they earn. And so I know even from that, are they actually financially a good fit for my coaching program, or are they going to have to like remortgage a fucking house, which I don't want them to do. So, I love that one. What's another one? Do not do.
Do not. Well, I think we already touched on that, but please let me expand on it. Please do not. Let's not do the bait and switch thing. I just think it's sleazy.
Oh. Like,
let's not try to hook people into like a free whatchamacallit.
Right.
Even like, I don't even want to call them brainstorming sessions. I'm not here to brainstorm with you.
Right.
I'm here to discern. I'm here to do three things. Maybe this. I'm here to discern, determine, decide, and deliver. That's all I'm doing inside of a call. I'm discerning if you've got what it takes to make it in my world, and if I can actually, you know, then I'm determining, you know, if I can actually genuinely help you and make a damn difference in your life.
Right.
The solution. Because guess what? If I'm not the solution, I will do my best to tell you where the solution is.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll send you on your way. I'm deciding if we have the right energy, if you know, based on the experience that I'm trying to create, you know, with this program and the energy that I want in the field, I'm just making that decision, and I'm going to deliver you an opportunity to join. That's it.
I love that. What are we calling this? The 4 D's of enrollment?
4 D's, baby.
4 D's. Is it, forget D's. Double D's. This is quadruple D. The quadruple D. Discern, determine, decide, deliver.
Yep.
Yeah. I love that. I feel like even discernment is something that goes out the window, and that's the piece that pisses me off the most. Because
and guess what? That's the thing that takes the longest.
Right.
You know what I hear? Here's another pet peeve.
What?
I listen to a lot of call recordings. And I just did a video rant about this. I'm like, I wish people would stop selling in shallow freaking waters, dude. Look, that's a great song, but it's not great for sales, okay?
So talk to us about that. What does that look like?
It's just like, they're just asking like superficial questions. They don't give a shit about it.
Right.
Just so they can get to the recommendation.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you like this, like a real sales conversation should last about an hour if you're going deep. And 80% of it, the first eight, like 80% of that is asking powerful questions.
Right.
And help them, like, it is kind of coaching in a way. And I hate to say that because I don't want you guys to think that you're coaching. You're just using your skills and your tools to ask the right questions to really help people take better inventory of where they're really at and the deeper implications of what will happen if they stay the same.
Right.
Happen if they change. And so it really freaking bothers me and pisses me off when I listen to call recordings and they're talking a ton.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, I need you guys to sell with your ears, not with your mouth.
Right.
And they're not asking real questions. It's fake as fuck. And I hate it. And it pisses me off on behalf of the prospect.
Yeah. It's like, you know, when you're in a conversation with someone, but you know, all that they're doing is waiting to speak.
Yes.
You can feel it.
Like, we need things to come to completion. Like, I'm all about bringing things to completion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in all aspects of life. Like, I don't like dangling from a cliff. That's not fun.
Right.
And so it's like, you're not, like, the ultimate goal, like, I have, like, a sacred sales pre-ritual that I do for all, like, every time before I get into a call. But, like, the mantra that I say every single time, and I've been saying this for years, is, like, whatever is in the highest and best good for all will be.
Mm-hmm.
And that is my guiding principle. So what does that mean? I want my prospects to feel good about the yes to enrolling and also feel good about the yes to not enrolling.
Mm.
I'm in a launch right now and I think I scared I really shocked the shit out of this person, but I was kind of on the fence with her and I was like, you know, I don't know, but let's do. So I basically said, why don't you take a day?
Uh-huh.
I want you to take a day. And now please don't do this, guys. If you're afraid to meet objections, that's not what we do. And we'll talk about follow-ups in a second, but like,
right.
I had already done my thing. And I was like, you know what? I feel really strongly that you need to like woosah and really get with this.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm on the fence about you.
Mm-hmm.
Part of me thinks that this is going to be the thing. The other part of me thinks, is this just another thing that you're going to get into that you're not going to do shit with?
Right.
So I need a break from you.
Mm-hmm.
To like pray on it myself, and you need to pray on it. We come back and she was like, I decided not to do it. And I'm like, that's amazing. Like, we threw a party. Like, we were celebrating Ruby because guess what? She made a decision.
Mm-hmm.
She brought something to completion. And
right.
She was so shocked. She goes, you're not going to try and convince me? And I go, absolutely not. That's never what we do.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's the thing that I would tell your listeners is like, you don't need to convince anybody of anything. They need mm-hmm. to be, you need to be clear.
Mm-hmm.
That's what everyone needs to be clear.
Mm-hmm.
On like, is this really the thing that's going to make a difference?
Right. Right. And it, as the coach or consultant or strategist discerning, am I really the best person for this client? Is this client really the best client for me? And then for the client to also discern, is this really like, am I really going to get what I need from this? And is this really the best next step for me? But creating an environment that allows for that to happen versus an environment that feels like it's a pressure cooker.
Exactly. And then you feel bad if you don't get the sale. And it's like, no, every completion, even when you're disappointed, like, man, they are like, dude, they'd be so amazing, but they're just not making that decision for themselves. It's like, it's okay. Like, I don't believe there's no shame in selling.
Right.
And there's a lot of people out there that have really piss poor. It makes me sick to my stomach that they're just herding people in. And it's like, it's a numbers game and
right.
a model to everyday entrepreneurs that don't have a staff of 20 people who can play the numbers game.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're like dangling like this thread of like, okay, if you enroll with me right now, it's like, it's 10,000, but if you call me back in 20 minutes, it's 15. Like,
I know. I've had fucking coaches do that with me before. And I remember the first person to do this with me is a very, very, very well-known and well-recognized and well-respected coach out there. right now and not naming names, but he, it was one of those situations on the call where it's like, you know, and it's, and this is $10,000, but if you let me know right now, it'll be seven. And I just, I told him, I was like, you know, him saying that was it. I was actually on the fence of like, oh, I really want to do this. But as soon as he said that, I answered back to him right away. And I said, you know, no, this just doesn't feel right because of that energy. It's like, why not allow me to have that space to discuss? And like, truly, I am married and I do discuss all my finances with my husband. And I think that's okay. And I like to have the space to feel like I can make a decision that just feels good for me. Mm-hmm. And I think we don't trust people enough. And the pressure often makes it easier to, for both parties to make a bad decision. Like I've made bad decisions by putting pressure on myself, and I've had clients make bad decisions. You know, it happens both ways. And I see it happening all the time at events and with other coaches and with other programs. And it's like, what happened to the, to keeping our containers sacred and keeping our work sacred and respecting and honoring the value of what we have to offer?
Right. Well, and I think you bring up something that's really interesting that would probably like kind of, it kind of rolls into my, another pet peeve is that I'm a, like when somebody shows me that I can actually, like when they prove to me that they're ready for the help, that this can actually help them. And if we don't help, if this doesn't get fixed, like, I don't like the implications of what that could create for them.
Right.
I'm like a champion for them. Right. And so this gives me permission to meet objections. And some of the objections are like, let me think about it.
Right.
And this is a pet peeve that I have is that this is the response. Like if you were to tell me, hey, let me talk to my husband. And all I said was, okay.
Right.
I'm not really showing up for you. Like if you think about it, if you're coaching someone, if you have them inside the program, if they come at you with something that you think might delay, is a delay to them taking action, you're not going to be like, okay, are you?
Right. Right.
You're going to dig deeper, right? You're going to try and figure out a little bit more about that because this is where, you know, anyone that knows me knows that I'm like addicted to like drama in a weird way. Like I like watching crime TV. I love like if I could get paid to go sit in a courtroom and just watch people, I'd do it for right now. But so why I tell you this is that one of the best skills that you can sharpen that I think we all have innately is your sense of curiosity. And so for me, when I get met with an objection, I'm genuinely curious. So there's no way in God's green earth I'm going to be like, okay, I think that is selling out yourself. And I think showing your prospect something that you don't want them to see.
Right.
By that, like, I don't think people get it like that. I think that they think, well, I don't want to push. I don't want to hurt. I respect. But here's the thing with your situation, I actually know that people are married and they actually have to talk to their spouses.
Right.
I fully respect that. But before, there's a lot of things that I would do with you to help you with that. But first I need to discern if that's really true.
Right. Or if it's an excuse. Right.
Right.
And it's like, we're doing people a disservice if we just let them go with whatever it is that they are saying. Like I always say if there's an opportunity to help the potential client dive deeper on one of these calls, then that's an opportunity worth taking. And I love that you said curiosity, because I think that's what it is. Like versus saying coaching, I mean, just get curious. Just get curious as to why. Get curious as to why this is what they need, what's really going on behind that. And then with the closing container idea, like make sure you close that loop too. And create like a follow-up call and get that on the calendar.
So much that I could teach you guys. I just don't, we can't. Do
yeah. We're running out of time. We're running out of time.
I just want to help like give everyone everything because you're right. Like there's so many, and listen, nobody's like doing this on purpose to like suck at selling.
No, not at all.
Genuinely want to do well. And that's why I'm just such on a mission to help make selling really easier and really create the sacred process that's not soft. Because listen, Love is love, and love is a real fiery emotion, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it's not just like rainbows and unicorns. Sometimes it comes with some blows, you know?
Sometimes it comes with some punches.
Love punches. Right? Like, yeah. And so I hesitate also, like, sometimes to go all in on saying sacred sales, because I don't want people to think that they're going to come learn the soft way of doing it. I'm going to show you how to do it the right, like, in a really connected way.
Yeah. Where you're taking a stand for what you have to offer. Like, that's what I feel like you do. It's like, it's about taking a stand for what you have to offer, taking a stand for your gifts, taking a stand for what you're here to do and the work that you're here to do with your clients or your product or whatever it is. That's the feeling I get after working with you. And I think that that's so important, because the way that a lot of other people teach sales is that stuff goes out the window.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just about the sale. And it's like, no, that's actually not going to work out for me. And I have fired myself from, you know, agreements with people where I can tell that they're just out there for the money.
Right.
That doesn't work for me.
Yeah.
That's not going to work. That's just not what selling is. Selling really is truly selling a transformation. Mm-hmm. And I know that sounds cliche because we hear a lot about it out there, but it is true. We're not selling, we're selling the dream. Like, we're selling the opportunity for people to transform and change inside of what we have to offer.
Yeah.
And so it just requires a deeper touch. And I think if you follow your curiosity and stay in that space of, you know, being relentlessly committed to showing all the way up for people, because you, the way that I want, listen, I can promise you this, I leave no stone unturned. Mm-hmm. So that's, I'm just an investigator. I am nosy by nature. I've been nosy since I was a baby or whatever. And so I use that to my advantage, because I do need to know, and it needs to click in my mind's eye. Like, yes, that's correct. She does really talk to her husband. Now let me help her with that.
Mm-hmm.
Let me help her make that easier. Let me make sure she's okay, that she's comfortable having that conversation. How can I make sure that happens?
Yeah.
You know, so I just take it all the way. And that's what I want your listeners to do, is like, let's just go all in. Let's just go all in with our curiosity, with connecting, with, you know, really committing to the process and the idea of serving ourselves up hot, not cold.
I love that. And I think that that's a really great way to close out this conversation, because I think we can rant forever. But for our listeners who actually want more of you, more of your passion, fire, and rants, where can they find you, Andra? And I'm going to have this in the show notes.
Just find me everywhere. I feel like we're going to have a link in the show notes. But you can, let me give you something for free.
Oh,
how's that?
Yeah.
So let's go to Andra Bohlen, AndraBohlen, Bohlen, Bohlen.com/playbook. And let me give you the actual sales call framework that I personally used and was able to generate over $1 million in sales in under 7 months with this. So let me give that to you.
Wowza. See? She's giving you something solid. You better be downloading that shit now. If you dig this energy around sales, get more of her. Go follow her. Go stalk her. Go download the playbook. Do all the things. Andra, thank you so much for being here, for sharing your fire and wisdom with our audience. I just so, so appreciate you, sister.
Oh gosh, I love you too, girl. The fire in me sees the fire in you. Namaste.
Namaste. I love that. To our listeners, thank you so much for joining us on another episode of Today's Thought Leader. If you dig this conversation between me and Andra, please share it with a friend, and don't forget to hit subscribe, download a few episodes, drop a rating and review. If you have any questions for myself or for Andra, please reach out to us on social media. Again, our links and handles are in the show notes, and I will see you back here on Thursday for a brand new episode of Today's Thought Leader.